Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up on episode 321 of Wheel Bearings, we've got the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Kia Seltos, Toyota's Tokyo EV Concepts, Mercedes having challenges selling EVs, Cybertruck deliveries coming soon, maybe, Stellantis pulls out of SEMA, Los Angeles, and CES, the refreshed Model 3 again fails to meet range claims, transforming the Bright Drop delivery van into a camper, UAW layoffs, and more. All that coming up next. Hey everyone, it's Sam Abuel Samet. This is the last you'll be hearing of me on today's show because I am in Asia right now. I spent the past week in Korea and I'm going to be in Japan this week for the Japan Mobility Show. So for the next hour and a half or so, it will be just Robbie and Nicole. Enjoy.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Wheel Bearings, episode 321. I am Nicole Wakelin from The Road Reflected.
And I am Roberto Baldwin from SAE International.
And Sam is missing. He's wandering around Japan, right?
Yes, he's big in Japan.
He's
tonight.
Big in Japan, and we're trying...
Alphaville fans will get that reference.
All three of them. So it's just me and Robbie recording this. So,
which is weird because Sam usually runs everything for us.
Right.
We're just lost children who just fall into a podcast once
right.
a week,
we're
and Sam
like,
takes care of everything.
Gives us, and we're like good to go. It's like, oh God, I have to create the link. I'm using some fancy recording thing. There's extra buttons. There's a timer. This is very scary stuff, Romero.
I like to point out that I'm not doing anything still.
He's doing the same thing. I'm trying to do other things. I'm like, oh, dear God, no. Now that means I get to pick who goes first, and it's not me. You get to go first.
Oh, this week I drove the Ford F-150 Lightning. Okay, so I've driven this vehicle before. First of all, it's for a couple of reasons. I think it's the best F-150 for most people.
Why?
To be honest. Because it does all the things you want to do. It feels like a smoother ride. It's all-wheel drive. It just feels like a nicer vehicle. And because we're, you know, we treat these trucks as luxury vehicles that just happen to have a bed in the back. This is the best. This is the luxuriest of the luxury versions of the F-150. Yeah, it has, I don't know, like 300 miles of range or something goofy. Yeah, exactly 300 miles of range.
You're not doing anything and you don't have anything in the bed and it's not very cold outside.
Yeah, even we threw a bunch of rocks in the bed. I don't know, probably like 1,000. It felt like 1,000 pounds of rocks. And then the thing is, I've done
rocks.
We got rocks.
Okay.
The rocks is a thing that people sometimes buy to cover up like dirt areas.
So you're covering up dirt with rocks. Okay.
So we're coming up dirt with like fancy rocks. They're all the same rock, so it looks nice. You put them down. It looks like a Zen garden sort of.
Okay.
But they're very expensive and they're also very heavy.
Yes.
And so we threw a bunch of those in the back of it. And I was driving, and I had the same thing happen with the Maverick, where I stuck a bunch of rocks. It was like 600 pounds of rocks in the back of the Maverick. And I was driving, and I had to do it twice. And so I'm driving, I had to pick up rocks two times. And the first time I forgot to put it in load mode, you know, when you got a big load. And I drove it home and it didn't matter.
You didn't care.
And the next time I'm like, oh, wait, there's this whole mode for, you know, when you have a bunch of crap in the back of your truck. And I put in that. And I was like, I guess this is better. I don't.
Did you notice any difference?
I guess I had a little bit more low end. It gave, you know, I think it adjusted the low end acceleration just a bit, okay. But it tapered off pretty quickly, so you wouldn't like knock all our stuff over. And it was the same thing with the F-150 Lightning. I mean, you're driving around with an electric vehicle with a ton of torque, and you're like, oh, I better put it in load mode. I put a load mode. I was like, I guess this is better. And when you put it in, it's like, oh, it makes the acceleration smoother. I'm like, I guess it's not as like, yeah, it's a little bit more. Yeah.
So as you're taking off. Mannered.
Yeah. It's a bit more mild mannered. So you don't knock all your rocks out. So I did load mode and I drove it around and yeah, my biggest issue with the F-150 is you can't see out the front of the damn thing, which is the issue with all the modern trucks. It's and this is all
darn big, like the front,
The design, because it's like a 90 degree angle. Yeah. If you just sort of slid, you know, if you look at older trucks, like last two generations, like the front was like slant a little bit and it had a little bit of a curve. So you could see more of what's going on. And then the Raptor appeared and it was just a giant Ford billboard. That's and right, it's just a Raptor big appeared. Flat. Yeah. It's just a big flat thing. And everyone loved it. And so then all the automakers said, that's what we need to do. We need to make it harder for you to see what's going on in front of you.
I mean, I get that it's like it creates this like, okay, you want a vehicle to have a presence, right? So it has to look like bold and impressive and it's out there and like, I have a big truck. But it's like, oh my gosh, it's just this giant girl coming at you. It's impossible to see around. It makes trucks feel unwieldy.
It does. It makes you feel like – it makes you feel less connected to the road. It makes you feel like you don't like what's going on in front of me. And it's also why whenever I'm in a drive-through of any type, trucks are always like one car length behind the vehicle in front of them. Or at least I'm like, why is there so much room between that person and that truck? I'm like, oh, because they don't understand how close they are.
Right.
They can't figure it out because there's no room.
Yes. You look and you think like, I can kind of see the bumper. Oh, wait, now I can't. And by the time you can't see the back of the car in front of you, you're still 6 feet away from it.
You're like, oh, I can't see that car anymore. And you're like, how far away am I? And you turn on the little camera and it's like, there's like an animal sanctuary that's popped up between you and the vehicle in front of you because there's so much room. Yeah,
exactly. But if without the little camera, I'm like, no one wants to waste their time with it. It's just like, I'll just sit back here three full car lengths and the vehicle in front of me just to be safe.
Just and making everyone behind you being like, what is wrong with that person? Why are they not moving forward?
Playing in your phone, pull forward.
Pull forward.
It's only bad when you're right at the speaker box. Because when you're right at the speaker box, if you don't pull forward, then the guy behind you, like the tail end of your truck's in the way.
Oh, it's in the way. And you're so close.
Like, oh, I just want a cheeseburger. And he's like way far away.
Yeah.
That's the only time it's a problem. Otherwise, it's like to give everybody in a truck a break. I would love to see them not have such big.
It's a packaging. It's a design issue. It's not. You know, these are smart people.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing.
Suppose
they can make this better.
You think they could?
Yeah. And the other thing is, I think we all know how much I like the Maverick. I like small trucks. I think, you know, small truck is great. And the whole time I'm driving around this thing, I'm like, this is a really nice vehicle. Like the layout, the interior, everything's really nice. Now shrink this down, take some of the, you know, the niceties out. It doesn't need to, you know, I don't need a luxury truck, and make a Maverick, make a small little EV Maverick.
What would you cut instead of the Lightning? You'd have to, cause it's F-150 Lightning. It would have to be the Maverick.
It could just have a big, I don't know.
Maverick. I don't know. Electric something. You have to come with a name that's less impressive than Lightning, but still.
What's another word?
Static. I don't know.
A transformer.
Up with something a little less. Powerful.
The static, the static electricity.
The Maverick static electricity.
The Maverick rub your socks on the carpet.
Right.
Zap your friend.
Zip zip zip. That would be the ad. Zip, 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 Maverick.
The shock. The Maverick shock.
The Maverick shock. There we go.
The shocker.
That works, right?
Yeah, sure.
Shock. There we go. We've named
the Maverick vehicle. Shocker.
Just build it now, Ford. We fixed that whole problem for you.
Yeah. Drove it around, had it for a week. Like I said, I went and picked up some rocks. I went and picked up some, like a big cabinet thing. You kind of, if you don't own a truck, when everyone comes in, I'm like trying to think of like truck things to do. And then, of course, you know, at the end, the truck's gone. And then we realize, oh, we need to do all these things in the backyard. Like, I have to build a trail, like with little paver bricks.
Yep.
And so now we're doing that with the cross track that's in our.
That is actually the absolute rule. Like, the minute you get the truck, you think, I don't have anything trucky I need to do this week. There's nothing that I need to do. And the minute it leaves, you're like, wait, I needed that one thing. I needed that lumber. Thing. I needed to haul that old dresser to the dump. I needed mulch. I needed rocks to attractively adorn my lawn.
And then it turns out you could just do it with the car you have, which is what we did.
For the most part, unless you have something that's super, unless long. It's furniture or like fully like the length of plywood, like 2x4s and stuff, you can get away with doing almost every home improvement thing just with a little vehicle. You just might need to make more than one trip.
I got 8 foot long 2x4s once in my BRZ by putting them out.
Did you really?
By putting them out the passenger side window.
Oh, now that makes sense. I'm like, how?
So it was like I was jousting as I was driving around town. It was pretty great.
Did you in your head imagine the little clippity clop of little coconuts?
Like I had little coconuts. I wasn't even using the steering wheel. I was using coconuts.
You were just doing coconuts the whole time. Yep.
Clop. So yeah, F-150. I know that Ford's having some issues selling. I don't know. I don't know if they're having issues building them or having issues selling them. It seems like 1 week it's one thing, 1 week it's another.
It was for a while because there was a chip or something. A chip issue. And then it became – because they just lowered prices, right? Didn't they lower prices in the Mach-E?
Yeah, but it was never – like they never – well, the Mach-E is fine. It's the F-150 Lightning. And they – you know, it was $40,000 and then it wasn't. And then it was a lot. And now it's like entry is like $50,000. So it's a $10,000 increase in price.
That's not for, a small change either.
No, that's like
upped it by like $1,000 or something.
It's
like you've literally $10,000. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Deal breaker for people. Like, do you have enough to buy that car? Well, not if it's $10,000 more than I thought it was.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the pro version, you're like, if you're a business owner, or if you just want, you know, either you're small business, or you're looking at fleets, or just want, you know, the pro, just want a truck to do things. It's electric. Like, do you wait? Because, well, they lowered prices before. Maybe they'll lower prices again. And then at the end of the day, the vehicle I was driving was $95,000. Or 90, no, I'm sorry, $97,674.
Was it really? What made it 97? What? My gosh. Was there some big ticket thing that was added to it?
No, it's just the trim. It was the Super Crew 4x4. No, it's just really expensive. And, you know, the trucks are, I think they, what was the average a couple of years or someone, it's like seven, like in the mid 70s was the average transaction price for an F class truck. That's what Ford was telling people. But this is, you know, still $20,000 more than that.
Yeah,
it's
a lot more.
It's a lot of money, and it really comes down to, yes, people are going to buy expensive EVs, but not that many. And a lot of people, regular folks don't want a giant truck.
No.
You know, most truck people don't want an EV.
Correct.
They want a big rah, rah, rah truck. Mm-hmm. Most people who are going to buy an EV are looking at it like $100,000 for a truck.
That's a lot. I mean,
it's a lot of money. And you're like, well, I could just get the Maverick Hybrid for like $30,000.
Right? Like it could be three Mavericks.
I could buy a fleet of Maverick Hybrids.
I could have a Maverick fleet in my driveway, or I could buy this one F-150 Lightning.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it comes down to, and I think this is going to be the theme of the show, is me just railing and yelling that people want inexpensive EVs, which is why the Bolt does so well, even though
we have things in our news section that Robbie's going to get to rant about as far as
so much ranting.
This is why there's trouble, you people. So just deep breath, Robbie, you're going to be okay. And we'll talk about that further.
So if you're rich and you want an F-150, they're still really nice. Still hard to see where you're going.
Still nice, still hard to see. Still
that's my story, and I'm sticking.
That's your rant. Okay, I had a much smaller vehicle than you did. I had the 2024 Kia Seltos SX Turbo all wheel drive.
So the Sex Turbo.
The Sex Turbo. Yeah. Oh my god. Until you said that, I never thought that. Now I'm going to think of that like I think of TRD as a turd every time I look at a TRD for
turd. TRD, yeah, yeah, the turd.
Oh, no, it's the sex turbo.
The Lexus Texas.
And the Lexus Texas.
The sex turbo.
Me, I'm like, is it, they really called it Lexus DX? I'm like, yes, I didn't make it up. Like I.
They're in Texas. They did not, they didn't think about that. I mean, I know they don't make that decision. Japan does.
Like,
but
someone should have said that to them. Like, hey guys, just so you know. TX is a state in the United States. Yeah, whatever. We don't care. Okay, they're all going to call it the Lexus Texas.
Based out of Texas, guys.
Like, if it was a Lexus MN, no one's going to say, like, Lexus, what is it, Minnesota?
Minnesota, yeah, exactly. It's a TX.
Texas, that works. So
you're not supposed to mess with Texas. That's what I've heard.
And I feel like they've messed with him.
Yeah.
By doing this, Texas is going to, well, if Texas feels messed with, we will definitely know. Because one thing, it is not as a quiet, reserved, demure little state.
It doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, it will voice its concerns, but hasn't yet. So what I had was none of those. I had the Kia Seltos. So small, I guess I call this a crossover. It's not very big. It's a tiny little car. This year it got some new bits for 24. It looks a little bit different, and they added it always had a turbo, but it has more power than it did before. So it's a little bit more powerful, turbocharged engine. And now you can get, like, there's a little bit of an infotainment upgrade. So like mine has a 10.25-inch infotainment screen. It also has a nice, I think it's the same size, actually, digital instrument cluster. So it gets that nice, fancy sort of upscale appeal. And it's funny, I was so confused because I was looking at the Monroney as it's telling me it's black inside. I'm like, I swear to God, this car is not black. And I look, and way down, I guess standard, it's black. Way down, additional features. Gentle brown interior color package. Like, oh, it's gentle brown.
Gentle brown.
Gentle brown. Isn't that?
Gentle brown also sounds like a sex thing.
Oh, for crying out loud. Stop. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Listen, I didn't call this thing the sex turbo.
It's the sex turbo. So the Kia sex turbo with a gentle brown interior. And that was when Kia stopped speaking to Nicole and Robbie. I actually like the interior. I think of it as like the saddle brown leather is what a lot of them will call it. So it's a nice, it's not really super dark. It's a little bit lighter. I always think that color makes a car look more upscale to me. It just makes it like
it's a little classy.
It's a little classy. Like it's a
it classes car. It up.
Yeah, it classes it up. So considering that this isn't a big expensive fancy car from a big expensive fancy brand, I think it kind of classes things up, and I sort of like how it looks. So I like the interior. I thought it was good. And it is comfortable. I mean, it's not a huge SUV. Apologies, guys. I'm still coughing. I have a cold that will never end. It's not huge, but it is comfortable. I mean, my husband's 6'3". You've driven the Seltos, right, Robbie?
It's a nice little car. I like it.
So
it's those Kia people. They know what they're doing over there.
It's like they've designed cars before or something. It's amazing. Yeah. Like they have designers and stuff who are experts, and go figure. Who knew? So I found it really comfy. Russ thought it was comfortable. The only thing is the rear seats, my daughter didn't mind sitting back there. Like there's plenty of room in the rear seats unless she wanted to sit behind Russ because he's tall enough that once he pushed back, leg room gets a little short. So she actually went to sit behind him and said, oh no. And like shut the door, walked around the car, went to the other side to sit behind me so that she had a bit more room. So if you've got tall people up front, it does eat into the leg room or the people in back a little bit.
We really are the worst.
Tall people are the worst, Robbie. But you're great when you need stuff off the top shelf in the kitchen.
Yeah, but you know, ladders exist is all I'm saying.
I'm not bringing a ladder in the kitchen. I'm just
step stool. You can get like a little step stool.
I'm just saying. I don't have to deal with a step stool. It's his job. I'm like, Russ, I need that. Go reach that. That and killing bugs. Those are the two things like in the marriage contract.
You don't need to be tall to kill bugs.
No, I'm just saying the two things in the marriage contract. He has to kill all the bugs and he has to reach the tall stuff. So those.
All right.
So it's true. You have to do that when you get married. But no, he's tall, so it's nice that he can grab things. But it does make it so that if you're going to really use that back seat and you've got tall people, it's going to be a little tight. But there's still plenty of headroom. It's just that your leg room gets a little squinched. So I like this upscale brown interior. I like that it has the 10.25-inch touchscreens. I like the little peppy little engine. It's not a huge amount of additional horsepower. I have in my head that it's a small increase from what it was before. But it is a nice little responsive engine. I mean, I mashed the gas to get on the highway because we had some traffic was weirdly heavy around here this weekend. It's like a Saturday afternoon. I said, why do I feel like I'm driving into rush hour traffic? What is happening?
That's a bummer.
It was weird. It really just gets right up onto the highway and it's quiet. It's not loud. We rode it back from the airport in an absolutely torrential downpour, which is like the ultimate test for how quiet a car really is. Because if it is not well insulated from the noise outside the vehicle, the minute you add rain to the mix, suddenly you know how bad. Yeah, you hear that constant like from the rain, and it was actually really quiet, which I thought was pretty good. And price-wise, this one starts at, now mind you, I have the turbocharged engine. This is, with its little extra bells and whistles, is $33,000. And the only thing that was extra on it, there was $1,200 for this sunroof package, which also adds like a power liftgate, ventilated front seats, and $175 for fancy carpeted floor mats.
Ooh.
Which I would never do. Are you I like the plastic floor mats. Do you like carpet?
I like the rubber ones where it just grabs all the crap that you did, right? And you take the thing out and then you carpet toss floor mats, it.
Especially, you know, when they, you know, when
carpet in cars is just dumb.
It's dumb. It's stupid.
Just,
don't do
it. It's just I don't understand why we're still putting. I mean, I can understand like if you have a Rolls Royce.
Okay.
Or maybe you have an S class. If you have like high end luxury cars, sure. But like the rest of the cars, what are we doing?
I don't understand.
We saw the Honda Element. They showed us the way.
And we had an Element, and that was the best part of it. Then when the kids made a disaster of it, you could just hose the sucker out. Like really, Russ would point a hose, water would shoot from one side, out the doors to the other side. It was brilliant.
Honda showed us the way, and then everyone abandoned it, including Honda.
And anytime, and you really notice it, I don't know, do you see the same thing because you're California, so you don't get the same kind of mucky, gross weather that we get. But anytime you have like floor mats, and they're really pretty floor mats, and it's a special trim, and it'll say like, you know, Turbo or SX or, you know, Wilderness or whatever it says in pretty white stitching or red stitching.
Oh, yeah, that's,
and then it turns this horrible muckety gray, and then
it's just eventual gray. Right? Everything that's white in a car, it should just be called eventual gray.
Yeah, white eventual gray. And then in the winter, once there's salt, that turns the black in the car mat, the floor mats, salt colored, which further enhances the eventual gray of whatever logo's on it. Like carpeted floor mats seem like the best idea. They're the worst.
We even in our little Kona, we've had it for 2 years, and you know, we've had a couple of years, you know, fortunately the years we've had some pretty rainy years. So I think that's great for California, but you can see like the stitching is sort of like kind of coming undone a bit on the Kona floor mat. And we're just like, I'm like, why? I know what car I'm in. I don't
exactly. Reminder. Am I in the, oh yeah, this is my car.
Who is this for? Is this when we buy the car? Is it when our friends get in the car? They're like, oh, you got a Kona.
Yeah.
Ooh. Good thing I looked at the ground when I got in.
Right. Yeah, no, I am just anti carpeted mats. I'm like, God, it was $175 you would have to pay to get the floor mats that will eventually look garbagey and gray and salt stained if you live in the Northeast. So I like the Hyundai Kona. I think it's a decent price. I mean, this one starts at 33, but if you go down to the bottom of the trim lineup, you can get this for about 24,000. Now, mind you, you go down to less powerful engine, and I don't know that I would do that because I feel like that one's a little bit meh. That's meh. So I might go at least to the X line, which has the same engine, because it's like X line and then the sex turbo. So you can go into the X line or the sex turbo. Both of them will put in the higher engine, and the X line's like a couple grand less. So I think I would go for at least the X line. Have you driven this with a less powerful engine, Robbie?
I don't think they hand those out, to be honest. I think
I would go for all the power. So I like the Kia Seltos.
So I looked up WeatherTech, you know.
The flooring guy. Yeah.
So the first and second row with the little rubber floor mats.
Yes.
For the 2023 Kia Seltos is $216.90. So I'm just saying, save your $175, pay an extra, I don't know, like $50-ish because of shipping and whatnot.
Yeah.
And boom, now your Kia Seltos is ready for anything.
So for $50, you can get any kind of muck that you want on there.
Yeah, you can muck it up as much as you want.
The dirt, the salt, when you spill your coffee, when you drop your food, when your kids do all the things that kids do to that, which is even scarier than coffee and food and salt and muck, and your whole – that would be amazing. I would do that. I would rather get custom fancy rubberized floor mats from like.
And if you just get the first row, let's say you don't have kids for whatever reason, and no one's ever in the back of your car, 131.
131. See, that's not
this
bad.
Is not an ad for WeatherTech.
This I is just, not an like, ad. We are not this episode not sponsored by WeatherTech.
Not sponsored however. By WeatherTech. Yeah. Apparently, they sponsor every magazine on the planet now.
They
but
do.
Not
but they do not every- sponsor our show, despite the fact that we all just told you you should go buy those formats because that is the ideal solution.
I don't know. They're just. You just put them in the, like Subaru, like it, they, you can just get them with the little rubber thing, the yes. rubber little things. And that's what, that's, yeah. Whenever I get a Subaru in and it has that, I'm like, oh, they made the good decision when they spec'd this car out.
They did. It is a good decision. It's the right way to go. And I know that goes with their whole, you know, we're the rugged outdoorsy thing, bring your dog with its muddy paws in the car. I'm like, or you're yeah. adult.
Or you're muddy adult. Or yes. children. You're muddy children. You're muddy filthy, children, filthy
you're
children.
Muddy adults. Yeah. You're filthy, filthy family. You can bring them into the car and not have to worry about destroying your car. So yeah, so like, there we go. Car get invest in better floor mats. People don't spend extra for carpeted ones unless you're driving a.
What if you're gonna get the sex turbo, you're gonna have filthy children.
Yeah.
Because sex turbo.
I gotta think of that every time I see this now.
I'm sorry, Kia.
Dang.
I like the Seltos a lot. You make good cars. And I you know what? To be honest, I love the name sex turbo. Yourself
he's like, I'll sex buy turbo. It now because you called it the sex turbo. If you'd actually put sex turbo on the back of it, he'd be like, sign me up, I'll buy one.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia.
So, okay. So in our, are we ready for news?
Who's ready for news?
News or stories. It doesn't say news. I guess it's technically stories. So
we are just completely lost without Sam here.
I know, without Sam is
he's got a really nice segue.
He does.
We should have like a little like now for news. like an old timey
radio show.
Or newsreels.
Is that what those were? Yeah, the newsreels I used to
play. Toyota introduces new concept vehicles at the Tokyo Motor Salon.
That was pretty good. Nice done.
Sam's gonna be like, I'm never leaving these idiots alone again.
We're gonna record an episode. I'm never letting them do this again. So the stuff they have is actually kind of cool. They have the Land Cruiser SE, which looks really cool. Did you see the picture of it?
I did. It looks it's very polygon.
Does it remind you a little bit of an EV9? Just a little bit.
It does remind me of you're right.
Like
it does
an look EV9 like an
EV9
vibe.
Everyone loves polygons now. Everyone got Star Fox for Christmas last year or 5 years ago, and are like, you know what? Let's do this again.
And I think that in another, how long do you think it's going to take for this very polygon design to be so of the moment that it looks dated?
Wow. I don't know if dated, I think not dated as in a bad way, but dated as in a time in automotive design. I don't think it's going to be like, ooh, I can't believe we thought that was a good idea.
I feel like in 5 years, it's going to be like, oh, remember when everything was shaped like a polygon?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's more where we're going to end up.
Not that it was bad, just that it's going to look so of the moment they're going to have to go in a direction because it's like, It's like forest green avocado green and harvest gold from the 70s. You can't do things in those colors because it was so of that moment.
Yeah. Teal. Remember teal in the 90s?
That was another one. Teal in the 90s. Everything was teal.
People, you could get cars there teal. Like I wanted to paint my Datsun 2000 teal in the 90s.
But you didn't do it.
I was a high school kid.
Oh, you had no money. You're like,
I didn't have any money. I was like just sitting there like every weekend. Like
the whole thing.
It's a long story, but the people I bought the car from, part of the deal was they were going to paint the car for me as well.
And they didn't.
They never did.
What color was it actually then?
It's yellow. It's still out there in the world. I know exactly where it's at.
Aw. You're just keeping tabs on it.
Well, my friend owns it, and I keep trying to, every like 6 months or so, I'll send him a text and say, hey, I'll buy that car from you for like some stupid low money. And
he still drives it?
He takes a few days and then he replies, no.
Does he still drive it, or does it just?
He has another one. He bought one after I bought mine. I had mine. I sold to a friend who sold to my other friend, and I'm still in touch with both of these friends. And the current friend who owns it, he bought a black one. So he was using mine because the black one, the body, like, and mine, like one of the fenders had needed some work. So I was doing body work on it. Mm-hmm. But the black one didn't need any work. And, except for the motor, I guess the motor, it wasn't mechanically so great. Like mine mechanically was great. Cause we bought it and my dad, you know, he fixed things and I knew how to fix things. And so we got it up to speed. So he took the motor out of mine and put it in his black one. And so as far as I know, he's not driving either of them. But I think the plan is he's going to take more parts off of mine and make the black one better. And then when it's just a husk of a vehicle, then he'll probably give it to me.
And he'll be like, sure, I'll sell you that. So, all you're getting four doors and like a chassis, that's it.
Well, it's got two doors, it's also like he took the motor out, which is fine because I want to make it an EV. But if he takes transmission out, that makes it a lot tougher because then you got to deal with transaxles.
You've got more stuff. So back to your Toyota.
Sorry for that weird
segue
aside.
Okay, how do you say this next one? Do you say Ipu? The letters or do you say Ipu?
Ipu. Like Ipu. It's electronic Ipu. Poo. The EPU. Let's just call it the EPU.
The EPU. Okay, the EPU, which is...
Well, no, because then they have the Neo steer and that's not the NEO steer. So Ipu?
Ipu? Okay, we're going to go with Ipu.
Ipu.
Okay, so the Ipu is a mid-sized pickup truck. These are all EVs. So it's a mid-sized pickup truck, again, with the polygons everywhere. And this is just one little image that we have of it. So this one looks cute.
Oh, no, they have some little one. They have pictures of it with a surfboard.
Oh.
It's like the size. It's a little truck. It's about the size of the Ford Maverick.
Oh, I see it with the surfboard on top.
Yeah, that's you just see there's a little the gate folds down, the tailgate. Whoops. Let me scroll back. If you look, there's a picture of it where the tailgate folds down, but then it like halfway down it folds back up.
It's good.
So you can put longer boards in it and you don't have to have anything to keep those boards from sliding out
I'm trying to think of like the GMC where their tailgate has
a little mid-gate thing.
Like a little to keep things from just falling all over the
place. Sliding out. Yeah.
That's cool.
No, this is the truck to buy. This truck. If I were in Japan right now with Sam, I would just be walking over to the Toyota people and just shaking them by the shoulders.
Aggressively.
And like, if you make this truck, you're going to sell a lot of them because, you know, Ford was like, oh, we're just going to make this Maverick. We think a few people will want it. And then everyone wanted the Maverick.
They're like, oh God, we weren't ready for the demand. We weren't ready.
Yeah. See, and if you look in, you look inside, you know, well, I can deal without the yoke steering wheel.
I'm not a big fan. I don't like the yoke steering. I keep trying.
But I like the idea, like, you don't, like, here's some, like, nice, like, recycled materials, like the Maverick, the interior of the Maverick. It doesn't have to be, like, super awesome materials. Just make the materials that you're using look nice.
Yes, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be that it has to be leather or the, you know, the stuff that looks like glass is really glass. The stuff that looks like metal is really metal. Just make it not look cheap.
Yeah, just, you know, recycle some water bottles and then make it look nice. That's
it. If it doesn't look like you used a Dasani bottle to make it, we don't care. Just make it look nice. I feel like that's the line.
You can see the word Dasani on the side.
Just randomly every now and then you're like, oh, wait, this was, yep, Dasani. Oh, that one, that was Aquafina or whatever.
Ooh.
Yeah. So so you have a, we have a big SUV. We have a pint-sized little truck.
A little EV truck.
To a little three-wheeled electric personal mobility concept called the Land Hopper. And you don't need a driver's license. Can be ridden without a driver's license, little asterisk, by those age 16 or older. So you have to be 16 anyway?
Well, it's like electric bikes.
It's 16.
Yeah, I think it's just an electric bike is what it is.
It's a cute little
with three little wheels in the wheels in the front. So, you know, you can like get off your bike and it doesn't fall over. You don't need a kickstand, so that's nice.
So it's kind of cool. So they have a little electric bike. So I like that. Yeah. I would try that out. This next one, I feel, okay, I'm just going to go on record. The name of the letters of this vehicle are J-U-U, which looks like Jew, which I think is like, I'm hoping we're saying this, they can't possibly name
Jew?
That.
It's cool because it's a wheelchair.
It's a wheelchair, which is kind of neat. But do you tell me if you don't look at that and don't you think a Professor X, something about this?
Oh yeah, this is Professor definitely, X. This is an X, this is a Professor X.
Right. He could totally be riding this around. So it's supposed to keep the right posture. So you're sitting the right way. It's kind of a neat idea.
It says when climbing or descending a stairway. Wow.
Because it has like, if you look, there's two little pieces that kind of stick out the front. See the two little like arms of the, little I think that's bits. Probably the how they climb the stairway. Right?
So you can go up. That's pretty cool.
Right? The retractable tail flips down from behind the backrest to prevent tipping. And it has side, on the Jew's side traverses the steps. This looks very fancy.
It does look very fancy. It looks like a very expensive wheelchair, but when it happens, you're going to get the powers of
a Professor X.
Professor X.
It's going to cost you a pretty penny because I feel like this is one of those things insurance is like, we allocate $5,000 for a wheelchair. This one is $50,000, so you're on the hook for $45,000. And then there's one for like going to space. Because the others aren't listed as prototypes, mind you. The SUV, the truck, the little bike, and the wheelchair aren't listed. It just lists them. But then there's the space mobility. This one specifically gets a little call out. This is a prototype.
Yeah, so I went to GM to look at their lunar rover.
Yeah.
And there are so many things about this space mobility thing that make it not useful for space.
Tell me what.
Like, first of all, they're wearing those big space suits because you're in space. There's a reason why there's no like side anything on a thing because you can't get in.
Yeah.
So having to get into this sort of enclosed like off-roader, which would be great for,
have a very cockpit like design that would be extremely squished. And it is funny, the guy on the space mobility prototype, like there's a mannequin in there that's just wearing a helmet, just like a helmet. That's it. Like there's no actual space suit on that man. He's just wearing a helmet.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be impossible to get into this space, space thing.
It may be for the aliens that we've just discovered are real.
Maybe like they can live on space,
right?
Like they can, they're like, oh, we don't need oxygen. We could drive your cooler vehicle. Cause this is much cooler, like looking like it seems is more capable. But there's so many things you have to think about, like the gravity issue, like torque, like, you know, look at that. What does it have? Four motors?
I think it says each wheel is fitted with its own motor and steering as part of the specification being developed to provide safe, reliable driving, even in rugged and unforgiving extraterrestrial environments.
So you're going to have to like pull, like, you don't need that. First of all, you don't need four motors. I guess you could have it, and you could just have a nice differential, but you cannot like just take off like you can on Earth. You know why? Wheelies.
Yeah, woohoo!
On the moon, you're just doing wheelies on the moon. Now, if you're on
the moon,
if you land on another planet, which is pretty much Earth, if you find another Earth, this thing is awesome.
Earth 2.
Yeah, Earth 2. This thing is the best. Outside of that, it
maybe
seems.
Not. It can climb 25 degree slopes. So if you have a very hilly planet that you have found, it would work. Sure.
They let me drive the little space. They had a simulation of driving it on the moon.
Yeah. How was that?
It was really fun. It was really cool. Like, they put you in a little room and it moves while you move, and you have to like kind of figure out how you're driving the vehicle because you have to take into account like all the physics of being on the moon. And so it was really fun. And at one point there's a big crater. They realized like that I was kind of going out, and then I was going to turn around and go and jump the.
Did it work? Did it do it?
No, they got on their little radio because they're in the room behind me, and they're like, "Please don't jump the thing, because it takes 15 minutes to reset it if you crash." I'm like, okay.
But the fact that they know it takes 15 minutes to reset it if you crash means that somebody did.
Like, yeah. Yes.
That didn't work.
Some people flipped over, or they got on the side, or they got stuck or whatever. And so it was, I think it was one square kilometer that they had mapped of the actual moon that we were driving on. So it was really fun.
So it was actually really cool. It mapped to be just like actual moon. It wasn't random created.
Yeah. It was for real moon time. They would not let me, just because people would drive up to it and try to drive down, and then they immediately get stuck. And they're like, "Well, your time's up." And so I was like, "Well, at the end, I'm gonna like do this wide turn." They're just watching me on the giant screen. They're like,
"No, stop him! Somebody stop him!"
"Sir, please do not do that." I'm like, "What? Whoa! Oh, okay.
I can't hear you. My headset's broken. What? I'm sorry.
Oh no! I got space madness.
I'm going crazy. I got space madness. I'm jumping this lunar rover. Get out of my way."
I'm pretty sure they could have just stopped me. They're like, "No, boop," and hit a little button.
There's one button. They're like, "And you're a moment's over. That's it. You're done.
You're done. No more. No more, Mr. Space Evil Knievel.
Space Evil Knievel." And then the last thing that we have on this list of cool stuffs from Toyota in Tokyo is the Neo Steer, which is basically just the cockpit. This isn't a vehicle. It's just a cockpit that's based on motorcycle handlebars. It has the accelerator and brake pedals in the steering wheel. So
it's like a motorcycle.
There's like a little accelerator lever, a little brake lever. It looks kind of cool, but it's very rectangular. It's strange shape. Like, I don't understand. I understand the braking and the acceleration, but once you turn, at some point it's turning, and like, aren't you going to be holding a corner?
I'm sure they've done a bunch of stuff for turning radius. But I think that it's cool for accessibility reasons.
That's
like,
true.
If you can't use your feet for whatever reason, to drive, that's awesome. Everyone else, I think we're fine with the steering wheels. That hasn't been an issue.
Yeah.
We haven't had an issue with steering wheels and accelerators and brake pedals. Those are all working fine. And this is, you know, in the like 80s or 90s, I remember getting all the car magazines about the car shows and the concept cars. And a lot of them at the time had joysticks.
Oh, jeez.
Like the joystick, like you were playing like a, you know, like Street Fighter, because everyone was playing Street Fighter. And so they had joysticks, and that was sort of like, oh, this is the next thing we're going to do in cars. Clearly that never happened, but
yeah. No.
You know, it's one company comes out with a yoke, and then, you know, and then Toyota, you know, Tesla had like, "Hey, look at the yoke." And I was like, "No." And Toyota's like, "Hey, look at the yoke." We're like, I'm like, "Oh, wait, yours works better." Still.
You know, it works better than others, but still.
It's still not. The steering wheel's fine.
Yoke or steering wheel. Please just give me a steering wheel. There's a reason that we're going with steering wheels. Just the wheel works. It works. We don't feel like we need to reinvent any wheel, including the steering wheel. Don't reinvent it. It works just fine.
We're fine with steering wheels.
And they do say this in here. It's safe, intuitive, hand-operated driving for users with lower limb impairments. So from that point of view,
it's great.
Have a steering wheel. It's designed so that you don't have to use your legs. And it's like, you know, it's not like you're adding fancy hand controls as an aftermarket thing to a vehicle to make it work for this. So from that point of view, it's great. But I just want a steering wheel that's a wheel.
Yeah. And this is a great, you know, things for steer by wire and everything by wire.
All the essentially. Wire. Everything.
All the wire. Everything wire. By wire. That's great. This is great because it's set for accessibility reasons. But just steering wheel.
Yeah, just a wheel.
Let's settle down.
That's what I would rather have.
Let's, you know what? Less work on the Neo, no, you know, keep working on the Neosteer, less work on the space mobility prototype, more work on bringing the EPU to market.
Yes, bringing the EPU to market.
And the electric pickup. That's what I think it's supposed to stand for.
Well, oh, it could be electric pickup. That makes sense. EPU. All I can think of is Abu from Apu. He was a character.
Oh, yeah, from The Simpsons.
Monkey. No, there's a little monkey in one of the movies, Abu, in Aladdin. That's what I think of.
Oh, Prince Ali. No, I don't want us to get in trouble with Disney.
Don't sing that. Stop. Stop right now. Stop singing. So the other thing that people have to work on, or all the automakers have to work on, is this whole EV thing and selling them and deciding what EVs people actually want to buy, not just what the automakers want to make, but what the people want to buy. And there was a story recently on The Drive.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. And it says Mercedes dealers are struggling to sell EVs and complain that the EQS isn't aspirational enough. They say the cheaper models, the EQB and the EQE, gosh, could we do more letters to confuse me, are what buyers want, while the EQS has been oversupplied. So where you're seeing like some are, you know, automakers are reducing the cost of electric vehicles and they have certain, you know, it's sitting on the lot and they're trying to sell them. Well, Mercedes guys are saying you're sending us the wrong things. You aren't sending us what people want to buy. Like the EQS is a $105,000 $105,000 sedan. Yeah. That's a lot of money for a car.
Yeah. It's again, it goes back to the giant F-150 that I have that was $97,000. And it's like, okay, well, now we know why you're not selling a lot of these.
Yep. They say that they have, check this out. So right now they're saying Auto News had interviewed someone that said they had a 50-day supply of internal combustion engines and another reported a 20-day supply, but then 60 to 90 days for EVs, 90-day supply. That's a lot of EVs.
You know what's crazy is that, you know, I drove the EQB, I don't know, a long time ago, probably in Germany. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in Europe.
Somewhere in the country he drove.
So, yeah. And I was like, and you drove it and you're like, oh, this is fine. It's like, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the Kona Electric, which is just like we took a electric car, we made it electric. It's a good car. And you're like, oh, here's a good car. And we just made it electric. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I wonder if people will buy this. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe. I see them everywhere now. Around, and again, I live in Northern California, so right. You know the amount of EVs sold here is sort of staggering compared to like the rest of the, well, just this country.
It's just this country. The rest of the world, people actually drive a lot more EVs than we do.
Yeah. And so, but I see a lot more EQBs than I expected I would, and I see some EQEs, and I see some EQSs, but the EQBs, because I look and I'm like, is that an EQB? Oh, well, there you go. I guess you know. Because it's you know, it starts at like $53,000. So it's a $55,000 electric Mercedes. The end. It's half the price of the EQS. And you have lots of room. You can take the kids places. You can take, you know, pick up your friends. Whatever you do with your car, you can do with a little EQB. And it's just, and again, another thing that I'm a big fan of is like, you don't need to make your electric car space car. It doesn't need to be the car from the future. It doesn't need to be this.
It should be like, that feels like a thing. I totally agree with you. That should be ending. Like we remember, okay, back in the olden times when just the idea of a hybrid was novel, not even a plug-in hybrid, just a hybrid. And everybody did things to make their hybrid look different. Had a little green, like a little green leaf, or a little blue trim. They did all these things to sort of like, this is a cooler. You know, they try to do this stuff to make it look special just because it was a hybrid. They're still trying to make electric vehicles look special. I don't feel like you need to make it look like a spaceship. We know what an EV is. We all got it. We get how they work. You know, we get it. Just make it a decent, affordable car that fits in with your lineup and that is like an electrified version or like an electrified version of your existing cars. People don't need it to be this crazy spaceship thing, but they like crazy spaceships for EVs. That's where everyone's going, crazy spaceship.
Well, there's aerodynamic reasoning for a lot of it, but you could still like the Ioniq 5.
Yeah.
You could throw a gas engine in it. It'd still sell pretty well. It'd still sell well just because it's weird looking. Mm-hmm. It does. And you know, is it a space car? Yeah, but it's mostly like a throwback car.
It's kind of
but it's weird. Kind of it's got like a cool design that like, oh, this is appealing regardless of what the drivetrain is.
Right.
I think with what Mercedes did with the EQ lineup is that they're like, well, we want to be super, super efficient. And so they went very German and very much made it look kind of not like a Mercedes. And mm-hmm. I think the EQS SUV looks nicer than the EQS.
Yes.
I think the EQS SUV is the better. That's the better car to get, really. Because if you get in the back of the EQS, you're not getting that S-Class experience.
Right.
Even though they're selling it as essentially an S-Class that's electric. It's half of the S-Class experience is sitting in the back seat, and the EQS doesn't deliver on
that.
The EQS SUV delivers on it much better. The EQE, I think that's the better vehicle. It's less expensive. You're getting all the cool like things you were getting in the EQS. It's smaller. It's less expensive. And it feels the packaging makes a lot more sense.
It does.
And then you have the EQB, which is just like, hey, we shoved an electric engine in this in our B class. Would you want? Do you want to buy it? And people are like, yeah,
we'll take it. Yes, we'll take two things.
It's like all the Konas and the Niros I see driving around. It was like, oh, or the e-Golf when that was a thing. People were like, we're just gonna shove an electric motor and some batteries in this car. Do you want to buy it?
Which it's almost like they kind of shun. Like you'll hear OEMs say, like, we developed this as an EV from the get-go, which there's benefits to that. Like,
that's great.
Like,
that's
there
wonderful.
Are benefits, but it's kind of like, also, you could just make it look just like your existing gas version of this and shove an electric motor in it, and most people would be pretty happy with that.
And then the interior, like, I don't need fancy. I just want infotainment, some gauges, and buttons. That's it. That's all people want. They're like,
yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so, they figured out quite how what the public wants. Maybe technically.
Well, I mean, GM did, and then they're killing that car.
I know.
They'll likely sell 70,000 Bolts this year. 70,000 EVs, yeah. And they're like, yeah, we're going to kill that. And the factory we were going to build it, and we're going to build Silverados. And you're just like, what? We're going to build 100. We're going to get rid of a $26,000, $27,000 car and replace it with a $100,000 truck.
Right. We're going to get rid of this super affordable vehicle that anybody can, that people, regular Joes, can put into their budget. We're going to get rid of that one. We know you like it. We know you're buying it. We know it's a really accessible vehicle and really affordable, but here, have this overpriced or very expensive, if not overpriced, have this very expensive electric truck instead. What?
And now they're shuttering that factory for like 2 years now. Yes. They're like, oh, we got to rethink this. I'm like, well, maybe you should just keep making Bolts while you're figuring that out, because clearly all those people have jobs, and all the people that are going to move them to other factories, and which yeah. is good. But also, you could just keep them there and keep making Bolts. And I know that they backtracked and they're like, oh, we're going to make a new Bolt on the Ultium platform and blah blah blah, a platform they're having difficulty building vehicles with. Just keep, I don't know, just make the Bolt for one more year.
It feels like there's someone somewhere who's making decision is like, wait, this sounds great. No, wait, we changed our mind. Like, they can't quite make the decision. Aren't there supposed to be people whose job it is to make those decisions, and they seem a little bit
pickup trucks are just a traditional gas pickup truck is just a cash cow.
Yeah,
That's where all the money comes
from. But it's not the case with EV. I don't think the EV but it's like, do as many people want an EV truck as they want, like we said earlier?
That's the thing.
The
truck people don't.
But that's not what truck people want.
They'll want an EV eventually as they get others for their, they'll get like a crossover for the house and they're like, oh, this is really great. And then they'll, you'll sort of figure out that you want an EV truck.
Yeah.
But like, just like, hey, here's an EV truck. Like, no. Yeah.
That wasn't when it was like, don't make me buy this yet. I'm not ready yet. Maybe
that's
it. Maybe truck people are the least ready of people to get, generally speaking. I know there's guys who buy trucks that are EVs. I know there's plenty of you out there, but I feel like by and large, regular consumers, I'll replace
the traditional truck owner is just like, I got it. Either they have it for the fact that it's a truck, the people who just want to show off, they raise it, they put little tiny tires. It doesn't make any sense in my brain, but you do you. Or they're doing it for work. I have to haul things. I have to do this. Or, it's a fleet vehicle. There's all these reasons. You're like, well, if I'm hauling horses and now I have to sit at a charging station for 2 hours or an hour to charge my F-150, that means the horses are just sitting in the back of the truck for an extra 2 hours.
When you
really think about that, you're like, they can make the trucks as great, you can have 350 kilowatt charging if you want on that truck, but the infrastructure isn't there.
Yeah.
And that's where that really gets into the weirdness is like, if you're just a regular, you know, and again, 89% of people who buy trucks don't do most of that stuff, right. But it's the, we'll eventually do it. It's the Boy Scout of America. We're all like, we're prepared for a thing that we're never going to do.
Right. And I think there are enough people that do use your truck. You know, many don't use all that, but a lot do use the truckiness of a truck. And yeah, they don't want to have, you're buying a truck for those reasons, for the reasons trucks are really truly made.
It's either be big and loud, yeah, or utilitarian, like hardcore utilitarian.
Yeah.
And then there's like neither of those people are going to get it. And most of the people in the middle who are buying it think they want the big and loud or think they're going to be a utilitarian, but they're not really doing any of those things. They would be fine with an F-150 Lightning, except for the fact that it's very expensive.
It's very expensive. It's too pricey. It prices out a lot of people. It's kind of
where you could get a Bolt and you can leave your truck at home, drive it on the weekends and just cruise around in your Bolt all week and realize that you don't have to pay whatever gas prices are. You're going to save a bunch of money,
save a ton of
and
money
you get the zippy little fun.
And yeah, you can put your gravel in the back just in
you
several
can throw
lanes
your
instead of
gravel. One. Yeah.
It's throw
100 paver stones in the back of
one
a Bolt EV.
No. Well, and speaking of trucks, the Cybertruck, we might be actually getting it. Theoretically, they're having a Cybertruck delivery event next month.
Someone's gonna get their Cybertruck.
Like one person?
Finally. Well, maybe.
Well, maybe. So, deliveries are supposed to start in November. Sorry, guys. And it was originally. Do you remember way back in the day when they threw the metal balls at the truck and cracked the glass that couldn't be cracked.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, you were there for that?
I was there. I had a really nice jump in my Instagram users when that happened because I shot a little video of it. I was like, oh, he's gonna throw it. Well, that didn't work out well.
And then let's do it again. Oh, twice it didn't work as planned.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. So when that was happening, when the not as planned big smashing glass on the Cybertruck reveal event, it was going to be $39,900 for ye olde Cybertruck. I don't think any of us really thought $39,900 was going to be a price that was realistic. Now we are like literally years later. They're going to be putting it in people's driveways and no one really knows what it's going to actually cost. They're going to have some high performance models that are like 50 grand and like 60 grand. But now in Elon's little thing, he's like, oh, it's going to be a little tough to get the production and the cash flow at a price people can afford. How much do you think it's going to actually cost, Robbie?
I think it's going to start about 45. 50,
you think 45 is going to start?
Well, no, actually 50. Let's just say 50. I think it's a lot of it has to do with this, the crazy design. Mm-hmm. Like Tesla could have come out with a truck that looked crazy. They could have still had a crazy truck without all this rolled stainless steel. It's all about the production of this vehicle is where the problems rely.
Yeah.
They could have come out with a crazy looking truck that was just built like a regular truck, like a regular vehicle, and brought it in at $40,000. They could have had it on the roads already. It would be competing with the Rivian. They could have, you know, they can build more than Rivian can because they're Tesla. They have a bunch of factories. They know how to build a bunch of cars. Instead, they went with this, which, you know, at the time, like
this, they went with whatever this is.
So I'm at the event.
Yes.
The truck comes up on stage. Ooh. And I can tell you for like a moment, everyone thought he was trolling us. Everyone in that audience
genuinely thought it was a joke. You're like, this isn't for real.
Everyone in that audience, the fans, the journalists, the rich people and famous people that he invited, all of them thought, oh, he's just trolling us. And then he kept going and we're just like, oh, so this is the thing.
This is actually it.
This is actually the thing. You're okay. And then they hit it with a fake sledgehammer and then they, and then they threw some heavy balls at it and broke it. They broke the windows twice. And they're like, let's try it again.
Let's try it again. It worked so well the first time. Smash.
And then I waited hours and then I got a ride in it. And
did
it was
you actually get to ride in it?
Yeah, I got to ride in at the event, and it took a very long time. Sean Young was in front of me in line, and for some reason, she got the cut in line. I guess because she was in Blade Runner. Fine, Sean Young.
Whatever, you're far more important.
It took a very long time to end. I think it was the first event for one of my friends, who's an automotive journalist, who's been doing this way longer than me, since like early 2000.
Yeah.
And we left, and we went to like In-N-Out or whatever for dinner. And he told me, I have been to hundreds, literally hundreds of these events, and I'm not 100% sure what I just saw is real.
Even the next day, I remember, first of all, that the number of orders for this thing were bonkers. There was just a stupid number of orders that were placed.
I had friends who pre-ordered it.
Do they still have pre-orders?
Oh, no. They all canceled.
They all canceled?
They're for various reasons, whether it be it took too long or because of Elon Musk's behavior in the last three or four years.
I think that this was actually the vaporware of cars or trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it worry?
Yeah. So it was, there was a bunch of reasons for canceling it. And I even wrote an article saying, you know, it's crazy weird looking.
Yeah.
But it's cool because it's crazy weird looking, because it's unlike anything else out there. It's not a work truck. It is Ford should not be concerned about this truck.
No, it's not that guy. Nobody who's like going to be towing that horse trailer has this. This is a totally different customer.
No, this is a completely different customer.
So we don't know for sure at that price what the price is going to be. Like they haven't announced any kind of pricing beyond that.
They pulled pricing at, I think, 6 months after it was. They used to have pricing on the site, and then they finally just pulled it.
And you're like, what they initially said, not what it might actually be. They did say at this event that they say they're going to have 250,000 trucks a year by 2025. They're going to be building.
Which is that's a huge, huge number.
That's a huge number. And there's a great quote in this story on Autoblog from Ed Kim, who works for who is, I think, chief analyst at Auto Pacific. And he was saying, as far as pricing, he thinks it's going to be, quote, fairly premium. Fairly premium. I feel like
it's just so hard to build.
It's going to be fairly premium because of the stainless steel. And that it's going to be more expensive to build it. I mean, stainless steel is pricey, and the stamping required to do that is much more intensive. So it's not something you're going to be able to like, blam, blam, thank you, ma'am, here you go, here's your truck. It's going to take some time.
I really think they should have, like, at some point a few years ago said, okay, we're still going to make the ridiculous version, but here's, like, the Cybertruck Mini or whatever. Yeah. And just figured out a way to make something along the same design, you know, the same design language, but wasn't, you know, stamped, you know, stainless steel. It wasn't, you know, it was just looks like it's built like a regular car. And like,
there's no way he's going to do that, because half of what made this cool, question mark, interesting. Half of what made this interesting is everyone, you can't possibly be building something that looks like a little bit like a toddler drew a picture of a truck on a piece of paper. With angles that are all kind of wonky, right? It has that thing like, I drew a hood, I drew a trunk, I put two wheels in, I have a car, right?
Okay. I drew a triangle and I put some wheels on it is what it is.
Right? So if you don't build it looking this crazy, people are going to be like, oh, you didn't build what you said you were going to build. So he's going to build.
But he could have built that. He could have still had that and say, hey, we're going to make 50,000 of these, you know, 25,000 of these a year. You're going to pay a premium for it because they're crazy. But we're also going to put out this other vehicle. Like this the Model 3 of trucks. We're going to make the Model 3 of trucks. Well, it's going to be
maybe that's part of the Elon Musk grand plan, that we get this crazy bazonkers Cybertruck out there, and then we get Cybertrucklet, which is a little bit smaller and a little bit
it's like a chiclet.
Cybertrucklet, like a chiclet. It's the chiclet.
If Toyota beats them to market with that small truck, that's it. Here's another crazy thing, just a side thing. Yeah. Toyota taking forever, just like, what's Toyota doing with EVs? What's Toyota doing with EVs? And then all the EV concepts they show, you're like, oh my God, why aren't you building that?
Right.
Just build all the things you've shown us,
Toyota. Build all those concepts. It's great that you're
going. We won't care how long you've taken you to get here. Just build them.
Just build them.
We know you know. Just you know how to do that.
And speaking of just building, the UAW is causing challenges for just building. Just creating and just showing up at auto shows. So, like, they're not just anythinging. So Stellantis, which is, oh my God, it's huge, right? Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Chrysler, Fiat, Alfa Romeo, did I forget any? It's like 18 different car brands.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
They're not going to be out of going to be at SEMA or the LA Auto Show. And they have blamed ye olde UAW strike.
Here's the thing. They don't need to be at these shows.
No.
If you talk to automakers over the past like 5-6 years, they'll tell us, yeah, we're not going to that show. Why? It's just a waste of money for us. Local dealerships will show up with the cars. They don't need, especially the Germans are like, yeah, we're not going to those shows anymore.
And it seems
it's a lot of money.
The poor auto show, but God, is it expensive?
It's so insanely expensive to do this. And what's the benefit is, okay, we have news that day, but it's buried with everyone else's news. So if you have news at 8 a.m. and then there's like three other automakers have news at 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever. Guess where your news is now? It's at the bottom of the page. Whereas you could just have an event where you just drag a bunch of people somewhere. You have the news all day.
Do you remember back when auto shows were a few years before, actually? It really wasn't COVID that killed the auto show. They were already on the outs before COVID even started. COVID just accelerated their decline. But you would go to the auto show and you would have, when it was still huge, you'd have press conference after press conference, like bam, 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 for 2 days in a row at some of them. And when you'd have to do these lists and stories and things for various websites, so pick your 5 favorite, pick your 10 favorite, pick the, you couldn't cover everything. They'd be like, no, we just want the 5 most important of this or the 10 most important of that. And even then you're like, well, gosh, there were 35 things. I have to pick 10. Okay, so you're literally cutting out news that's actually still maybe pretty cool news because you don't have they don't want endless pages worth of nothing but auto show for a month on their sites. So you cut that down. Like you said, if you just say, forget it, we're not going to spend the outrageous amount of money required to be at an auto show, they could still fly every journalist they want into an offsite event someplace. And the benefit is that they get 100% of the coverage on that day. Is them. Toyota's not competing with, Jeep. Jeep isn't competing with Ford. Ford isn't competing with whoever. If you have an event on a day and it's just you get so much coverage. So, I guess it's, they said because of the UAW strike, they're going to pull out of these shows, but also feel like they're going to save a ton of cash and it's not a bad call. I wonder how much we're going to see more of that where the automakers are just even if they're at the show and they have vehicles for the consumers to see, on the consumer days, but they're not so much doing great big press conferences and these whole big shindigs because it's just, they don't get them.
That was the Detroit show.
Yeah.
I went to the Detroit show and I was like, there's 4 pieces of news. They're all sort of news. There's one new vehicle, one updated vehicle, but then everything else was just local dealerships, and they had a little drive thing so people could drive EVs. So for consumers, for just regular folks who want to go to see the cars, it's awesome. For news and stuff, you're like, I don't need to go there. It doesn't make sense to have Volvo had there was a dealership there and they probably had EVs rolling around. That's great if you want to look at a bunch of cars, you want to sit in cars, but there's no need for, Volvo corporate to let's bring a giant, let's bring this huge giant thing over. Right. Now let's build it. Now let's now we got all that. Yeah. And let's come up with some news, is the news ready? Well, let's just announce it and then say it'll be ready in 6 months. And, now you're beholden to some sort of arbitrary timeline.
Right. We said it would come out when, let's not say when, and then we'll be okay, but we got to announce something. Because we spent all this money to have a big booth at the auto show and everybody's going to be there and we have executives there. So we have to announce something. Yeah. I feel like auto shows just continue to, the thing is though, really, like you said, for consumers, they're fabulous because it lets you see a huge number of vehicles all in one spot. A lot of them do the little ride and drives in there. How they do a Jeep does them and Ford does them where they're showing off the Bronco where you're going up and down little platforms and stuff. Which isn't super exciting for us because we get to do that kind of stuff as a part of our jobs. But, for the average consumer, I want to see what it
feels like. That's pretty cool.
I want to drive that Bronco up there. It's pretty cool. So it does give you some great opportunities.
Where else are you going to do that?
Right? So it gives you a great opportunity to test this stuff out and kind of get a little feel for it at an auto show or get behind the wheel of an EV for the first time ever to see what it's like to drive an EV and just experience an EV, even if it's just a ride along. That's still really cool. But for, you know, for a journalist perspective, it's kind of fun eye candy, but it's not really necessary. And yeah, I think having these one-off of like day events where they fly us in, show us something, and we all get all the details and we all talk about it is probably increasingly the way things are going to go. You think auto shows for journalists will be a thing of the past?
I think there's still going to be, you know, like, well, we're there. Let's have some news. But I think, you know, I've talked to a couple automakers who have told me point blank. They're like, yeah, we don't really do that anymore. Like, that's not a thing we're going to do. Like, we'll have something there, but we're not going to do news.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, and we're picking and choosing what events we're going to, which ones make sense for us. Like, you know, they'll look at regions and, you know, like, well, should we really be at this auto show? And you know what? There's a dealership nearby and they're happy to bring over like, you know, six cars.
Which is far cheaper than having somebody truck them in from far, far away with all the things they need to do.
And if those dealerships can sell some cars based on that, that's great for them as well.
And then they're happy. And then they're getting leads right there at the dealer. That actually is like money in the dealer's pocket. So the dealers are happy. I think that makes sense. Although I did hear part of one of the things with if they apparently auto show space and where you are in the auto show, once you have that reserve, once you give that up, it's hard to get that back. So if they make the decision to pare down their footprint at any given auto show or remove their footprint, it can be very difficult to get that footprint back.
Like Porsche's spot at the LA Auto Show.
Yes.
That feels like it's a very coveted spot.
It's a special little spot. So if they give that up, if they back out and somebody else takes that spot, that doesn't mean they can just be like, hey, we're back. It's like, no, you got to suck it up, boys. You told us you didn't want this. And now you can have it. Somebody else took it. It's gone.
You blew it. So we can't have nice things.
Yeah, we can't have nice things. So we have one more piece of additional Tesla news. I probably should have talked about it when we were talking about the Cybertruck, but Sam would have. I'm not that smooth. So this is about the Model 3 Highland isn't the range that you thought it was going to be. So there was some testing of this, and I think the range didn't come up with what it said. Are you surprised?
No. So the way EPA tests are done is that there's so many tests that they can do. Everyone does like the shorter tests number, and they have this adjustment rate that they all use, and that's how they get their EPA range. Mm-hmm. Tesla and Lucid, they go for they opt for more of these tests, more cycles, and then that allows them to use a different adjustment factor, and so that's how they get these larger numbers that don't quite work out in the real world. Like, if I drive a Ford and I do it on my range test, 90% of the time, it's going to hit that EPA range.
Right.
If I drive a Hyundai or a German vehicle, typically it exceeds the range by a little bit. If I drive a Tesla or actually a Lucid, up until recently, the Lucid Air Pure ended up being pretty dead on. But like the Teslas and the Lucids would always come underneath because they're using a different adjustment range. So it's a difference in how they're doing the testing at the EPA level. And so whenever a Tesla is like, oh, I didn't get as good range, I'm like, yeah, because it goes back to they're not doing the exact same test as say Ford or Hyundai or BMW.
Yes. So it's different testing. So it looks like based on this is testing that Motor Trend did, and according to what they were seeing, they feel like the 2023 versions of the cars are actually going to get a worse range than the cars they're replacing.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. Do you think anyone will care who's buying a Tesla?
Not really. I think you just see that number and you're like, okay, you know, that's, and that's the weird thing about it is that, you know, you see the number and you're just like, oh yeah, this is great. This is exactly what, but you know, Motor Trend also does it in theirs is like a 70 mile an hour on the highway the whole time, which is not something the average person does on a regular basis.
Right.
Like you're not driving, you know, you're usually driving, like my test involves half of 70 miles an hour on the freeway, but also half like just driving around town.
Right. Because it is a combination. Of course you're on a road trip, you're beaming down the highway at a high speed, but you're generally driving around your house, neighborhood, driving back and forth to the grocery store, driving, you know, a bit more stop and go than just like blazing down the highway at 70 miles an hour. So this might not be entirely accurate, but it still does kind of indicate maybe not what we're, they were what Tesla.
Yeah. But they do the exact same test every time, which is good. So, you know, if you look at the Hyundai, it's 19% below EPA, but if, you know, it's, if you look at the, I guess the Highland, the Model 3 Highland is 26, the, for the long range, it's 26% below EPA, which is like, oof.
Do we know why they call it the Highland? I keep thinking Highlander. I think it feels
it's like probably has something to do with Highlander, as far as I can tell.
It should be like,
and you're talking about Plaid, and yeah, you know, they have Plaid on the Model S and the Model X, and I really, you know, I hadn't really thought about it.
That's all I can think of is like it's the Scottish version of the Tesla.
There can be only one. They're probably walking around the factory.
There can be only one. You can have a sword that's like hidden in the center console. No one knows that their center console is not as long as a sword. Whoosh. Sword comes out anyway.
The new front end of the Tesla, though, kind of looks like the Ioniq 6.
Do you think?
Just a scooch.
Wait, now I got to bring it back up. I closed the window. I got to bring it back up. Is that what's in the picture on this story?
Yeah, just scroll down to the bottom.
Wait, I'm going
to
scroll down and see if the picture, it's loading really slowly. Do. You think it looks like an Ioniq 6?
Just a little bit.
A little bit. Oh, now I see it.
Yeah. I think I think it's the lights.
I was going to say the lighting. That's probably part of it.
Yeah, which is, you know, cars look like each other. That's just the thing.
Cars all look like cars.
It'll take Tesla. People are like, oh my God, there's the Ioniq 6. And then at the last minute change their design language.
Like, we got to make it look like an Ioniq 6. Yeah. We got to make it look like that one because everyone likes that one. And everyone does like, does anyone not like the Ioniq 6? Isn't it like sort of like a favorite car among the EV?
I think people my only issue with the Ioniq 6 is headroom. Especially in the rear. Rear headroom, if you're taller than me, it gets difficult. I will say that it is dogs love it. So me and Mark Takahashi were on the Ioniq 6 drive in, I believe, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I've gone or where I've been in my life.
It was Arizona. I did that one too. You are correct.
Oh, okay. So we're in Arizona. We're driving around and we just see this dog just wandering out like near like sort of a housing area in the desert, but it was outside of it. And it just kind of looked like it was having a good time, but also lost. So me, because I, you know, dogs and cats. So I pulled over and I, you know, we look around, there's no one around. So, you know, there's a phone number on the dog's collar. So I call the phone number and I'm like, they're like, oh my God, yeah, he got out. We've been looking for him. And so they're coming to pick up the dog. The dog immediately just jumps into the back of the Ioniq 6 and just hangs out back there. He's like, hey, how's it going? We're going for a drive.
I don't need my owners. Let's go. Let's go.
So Ioniq 6, perfect for dogs.
Perfect for dogs. Okay. You want to get to some questions, Robbie? You want to do listener
questions? All right. Let's see.
This is a huge question. I feel like you should, this one from Adam Jakowenko. I feel like you should read this.
Okay. As you may recall, the high voltage junction box HVJB has long been a problem for many Mustang Mach-E owners, including myself, and Ford's fix was an OTA update that didn't actually fix anything about the root cause. It just allowed the car to keep running so you could limp it to a dealer. Then NHTSA launched an investigation after so many customer complaints. Well, very exciting news for many of us owners who've been driving around all this time with the ever-present possibility of them failing on us at any time. See attached notice to dealers. I've also... There's no action taken yet, so it'll be interesting. We'll see what's official. Oh, okay, so like, apparently something they're doing something. Seems Ford is finally going to do what they should have done all along, which is proactively replace every faulty HVJB that they knew could fail from what I can only assume is a design flaw. Now, from what I see in the notice, it looks like it will be a software update and hardware replacement. The Mach-E forums are filled with happy people today because up until this point, they've been more so filled with people posting pictures of their cars getting towed from the HVJB failing. It's hard to know how much the NHTSA investigation had to do with this, but I can only assume it played a role as owners have been begging Ford to do something for this for years to no avail. I absolutely love this car in every way except for this one, so it's great to see it finally being addressed. We'll make future years of ownership so much more enjoyable, which is, you know, sort of like the deal with, you know, NHTSA and all these regulatory things. And sort of the one of the great things about the internet is that if there's a problem with your car, you can go out and find out, oh man, a lot of people have problems with this car. Oh, we're all having the exact same problem. And it's a lot easier to sort of hassle regulators like NHTSA when you could just go on, you could do a form, you can say, hey, you know, I would like to tell you that this thing has happened to my car, and you can reach out to Ford. And it's a lot easier. Like back in the day, you'd have to, like, I wouldn't know how to get a hold of NHTSA.
You'd have,
like, do you go to the white pages? Yeah. Do I go to
the- You'd have no idea either. Like, oh, am I the one person that had this issue? Oh, maybe it's just me. I got unlucky. I got something of a lemon. I'm going to have to suffer through this. But if you're on the internet and you look, you're like, oh, this thing broke. Let me Google that. And suddenly you see legions of owners who've had the same issue. Then you know too, like, wait, let's push this, because it's not just one or two of us. It's a huge number of us. There's something wrong. We need to fix it. And I think it's good that now, like, an agency like NHTSA can be like, okay, wait a minute. We can see all these reports. I don't have to have an official report. You can see the consumers are having a problem. And I think that's a good thing, because it pushes NHTSA and automakers to say, okay, wait, it's not a one-off. It's not an anomaly. Yeah. We have an issue we need to replace. So I think that's good news for people who have the Mustang Mach-E. There must be very happy Mach-E owners.
And that means that, you know, future Mach-Es will not have this issue. And, you know, this kind of happens a lot, especially with first year, second year of a vehicle being built. You know, automakers can do a billion little tests.
Right.
But then once it gets out into the real world, that's when things, weird things will pop up. So it's not unusual for especially first year cars that have something weird wrong with them that has to be replaced.
I remember very early on in Automaker, I was talking to someone about buying a new car that had just come out. And she literally said to me, because I was really new to this whole automotive journalism thing, she said, wait until year two. And I said, why until year two? Because at the time I didn't know. And she said, exactly what you just said, Robbie. We do such extensive testing. We try to hit every use case you can possibly think of. We try to do everything. And she's like, and without fail, there is something that we miss, not through lack of trying, but because vehicles are so complicated, you miss things. Or there's some certain way people use things that we didn't anticipate that causes a problem. But she's like, wait till year two. By year two, we'll have had a chance to see the thing that we missed. She's like, because there's always something. There's always something, sometimes really tiny, sometimes a little bit bigger, but it's just the nature of development of vehicles. There's probably something that was missed. So if you wait a year, you're probably going to have one that's, they've already figured it out, hopefully. And you've, you know, not all the problems, sometimes problems take longer, but at least a year gives them a little bit of time to go, whoops, we need to correct that. We missed
you just fix that thing. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had automakers actually say, like, I really want this car when you bring it out. They're like, well, you're not going to get the year one car because everyone's going to buy it. And also, don't buy a year one car.
Yeah. Don't buy a year one.
If you can afford it, if you're like super hardcore into it, that's awesome. But typically, even if you like wait for like a, you know, 6 months in, you can probably get a better.
Right. Yeah. Even even just waiting a little bit, like let the initial production run roll off the assembly line and end up in people's hands. So that if there's a problem, it becomes a known thing. And they're like, oh, we got to fix that little wire. We got to fix that little harness. We got to fix that little bolt, whatever. They fix that thing before you get your hands on it. So don't buy year one unless you really, really have to, and you're ready to deal with the problems of buying year one.
Yeah. And sometimes they come out and they're totally fine. But
right. You know. Yeah. But I feel like,
again, cars are super complicated and they're just getting more complicated for reasons.
Yes, exactly. So right. We have a second question from Adam. This is also Adam on our little notes. He says, I know this topic's been belabored, so no need to spend much time on it, but I thought I'd share how I know a nice, normal, non-car expert family who is very excited about the EV9 because they are just wanted it and they're ready to move to an EV as a family. And they put in their order and were just notified by their particular dealer that there's a $15,000 markup to the vehicle. So they declined the order and they're not going to get it. And he said, I know they could call around and, you know, to other dealerships. They don't want the hassle. So this is dealer specific. But now, because of that, they're so aggravated, they've sworn off Kia as a brand, which is actually a super negative impact from a dealer doing that. Even with chip shortages and supply issues easing, it seems we're still firmly stuck in markup land on popular cars for the foreseeable future. It's also the reason I'm keeping my Mach-E when lease is up next year. I want to get an Ioniq 5N, but I know
5N's going to be,
Ioniq 5N, jeez. But I know I have a better chance of getting a Tesla that can safely drive itself than ever finding a 5N without a markup.
You're not going to, any sort of And it's why you're not going to be able to get a GR Corolla. Yeah. I mean, this is always going to be, if there's a high performance version of a vehicle, it's the markups are just going to be, it, and this is always, you know, the Type R's have always been too expensive.
Right.
The, you know, everything like this, you're going to get hosed by the dealer. And it sucks because the dealership isn't the automaker. That's the crazy thing. The dealership isn't the automaker. And what happens here is like, well, we're not going to get an EV9 and we're never going to get a Kia. This isn't Kia's fault. This is that dealership's fault.
That's
but now funny. Kia is being blamed by this. And this is the bad, this is what happens when you know, the dealerships have a ton of political pull and they can kind of do whatever they want. And the folks that are, you know, they're, you know, consumers get, you know, hosed. Mm-hmm. And then the dealer, and then the company itself looks evil. And it's not even the company's fault.
And you know, that's so very true. I mean, I know people get really mad. You know, the Kia dealership slighted me, the Ford dealership slighted me, the, you know, Mazda dealership slighted me. And then when the dealership does something that really is stupid and obnoxious, like a $15,000 markup on the car that you put a deposit on, your instinct is not only do I hate the dealer, but I hate the brand. And, you know, there's only so much, like, and sometimes automakers will take action against that. Something happened a while ago. People, I want to say it was Ford.
A Ford.
They were upping. They're putting these huge markups, and it's like, well, we can't stop them. But it also, you know, when allocations come for who gets what down the line, you know, those things can be considered. There's only so much an automaker can do when a dealership wants to charge you an extra 20 grand for a car, especially if there's someone who goes, okay, I want it bad enough and I have the money, I don't care. And that's where you kind of get stuck. But I think it really is important to note that this is a dealer thing. Like, don't knock the brand. Don't swear off Kia forever. If you can convince friends who are ticked off because something like this happens at a dealership, to swear off that dealership, but not to swear off the brand. Look for a dealership that doesn't have that problem. Give your money to those guys. It's, in a way, you're, you know, support the dealerships that are doing a good job, you know, regardless of the brand itself. If you really want the car, shop around for it a little bit. It's a pain in the butt. But don't knock, like, every Kia ever, every Ford ever, every Mazda ever, because you have a negative dealership experience. Because eventually you're not going to be able to buy a car, because there are nasty, obnoxious dealerships for every brand. And eventually you will swore them all off. Enjoy riding your bicycle to work.
Yeah, I think there's a site, markups.org, that I've talked about a couple times. If you're just even looking into the EV9, I think the EV9 is going to, I think it's the, it's the new Telluride. It's the electric Telluride. It's going to do really well.
It is.
You know, it starts at what, like $56,000.
It's affordable. It's going to, yeah, relatively.
Yeah, it's affordable. It's got three like usable rows. I drove it around Korea. Mm-hmm. It's just a great, great car. I think, yeah, it's going to be in high demand, but it's also, you know, especially if you've ordered it and they're like, yeah, we'll give it to you, but now you have to give us $15,000.
That's so obnoxious.
It's super obnoxious, and it's a great way to like make sure that person is going to tell everyone, including the people on a podcast, not to go to that dealership.
Right.
And you know, these dealerships, you know, they're going to want you to come in, and you know, they need to make relationships with these folks, especially as more and more vehicles go EV, because you know, you got to come in, I got to rotate my tires, I got to like do some like weird little things. And there's fewer things that go wrong with an EV typically,
right?
Like mechanically. So you're going to want to be good friends with those people. So when stuff does go wrong, they come in and they're like, oh, can you rotate my tires? Or, oh, hey, this charge port door isn't working correctly. If you're just sort of trying to get this, you know, this extra $10,000 out of them, $15,000, they're not going to come back to you if they do buy the car, and they're definitely not going to tell their friends that go there who have that.
Somehow the dealers must think, I mean, he's doing right. This dealership's putting an extra 15 grand on this car. They must think that the net over time, unless they're just really short-sighted, you've got to look as a dealer and go, well, I'm going to make an extra $15,000 off of someone on this, but that guy is never going to buy another Kia from me, or the people that I pissed off, they're never going to buy another Kia from me, and their friends are never going to buy another Kia from me. They're all going to go to a different dealership. They're never going to come to me for service. They're going to go to the other guy. It seems like it would be pretty obvious that the long term from this is not going to be positive, but yet they still do it. Maybe it is more positive.
I think they just look like, well, this is the price the market will bear, which is, you know, the laziest thing, people thing. people say. I went to a dealership where they're like, yeah, we don't, none of the Broncos come leave our shop for less than with, they all have a $40,000 markup. This is during lockdown still. This is right after the Bronco came. $40,000 markup for every Bronco.
Markup of a car. They're marked up the price of an entire car.
It's the BRZ still, as far as I can tell, it still has like a $13,000 to $15,000 markup.
Gosh,
in my area.
That's insane.
That's half the price of the car.
I'm so glad I'm not buying a new car right now. I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with this. I can't deal with these crazy markups. I don't want to deal with it. It's hard enough buying a car and the haggling and the back and forth and paying extra for the carpet and floor mats you shouldn't be getting anyway. I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to have to deal with a huge markup.
Yeah. So anyway, dealerships, if you know, long-term relationships, I feel like, are important. I mean, $15,000 is nothing to sneeze at. You're like, well, we got to 50. They're never going to come in, but the life of their vehicle, they maybe would have spent, you know, $5,000. We're getting $10,000 more. Yeah, but they're also like, those people are they're never going to go there. They're never going to buy from you, and they're going to tell their friends about you.
That's just it.
So the $5,000, you know, the $10,000 you made, well, now there's five or six people. They're like, oh, wait, now you have a net loss of $15,000.
You've lost a lot more than you think you have. Dealerships can do that obnoxious stuff. Be nice.
Short term. So maybe they hope people have amnesia.
They forget.
They just roofie everyone after they get their car.
No, they need a little blinky light from Men in Black. You did not.
Men in Black. Bink. You get a forget me not pill.
And on that note, I think we've covered everything we had this week. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, or is that it for you, Robbie?
That is it. You can put a lot of bricks in the back of a Subaru Crosstrek.
Yeah, because
so you don't need a truck. That's why
you don't need a truck. There you go.
I'll talk more about the Subaru next week.
And next week, I believe we have the whole crew back together again.
Yeah,
to be all of us back together. So next week, Sam will be back and probably really jet lagged because he's coming from. Or is he in Tokyo, Korea, wherever the heck he is?
I don't know. You know what's funny is the next day after the podcast, I'm going to Singapore.
Oh my gosh. See, everybody's going out there. I'm going to be not jet lagged. I just got back from Spain. So this was my jet lag day. So I'm going to be the only one who's awake. So
yay.
Okay. That's it, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.